to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Praise to you, Lord.
While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is a greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because of the preaching of Jonah, they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's good to be back, sisters. One of the biggest issues that face the church today is that we don't know how to live Lent. So many Catholics have been taught that if they give up Pringles or chocolate or whatever, somehow that's all that God's wanting from the church to Lent. He wants so much more. Pope Benedict used to say that Lent isn't supposed to bring about a tiny, itty-bitty little course correction in our life, but a massive change. And that's what's pointed to in these readings. Jonah set out for the great pagan city of Nineveh. It would take 3 days to traverse, well over 1 million inhabitants. The first day, almost with a totally Lenten theme, he says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be annihilated. That word starts to echo. It would have been easy in a debauched pagan city of yesteryear for him to have been pelted by stones and everything else. It's not a message that rings to hedonist ears at all. But instead, it didn't take him 3 days to traverse that city. His message penetrated the hearts of the people in the city immediately. We see that he had gone just a single day proclaiming that when the people of Nineveh heard God's message of conversion. They proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth, from the king even down to the pets. No one ate, neither cattle nor sheep. They didn't even drink water. They were serious about conversion. They all called loudly to God. There was a proclamation that everyone should turn away from evil, so that God, who knows how to forgive and relent, may withhold his blazing wrath and we won't perish. And God saw their conversion and responded with mercy. In the Gospel, Jesus says that there's someone far greater than Jonah present. A week ago on Ash Wednesday, he, through his minister, said, "Repent and believe in the Gospel." He reminded us that we're on the road to death by putting a sign of death on our forehead. Not only the ashes, because we will return to dust, but also his cross, which is a sign that we, like him, are called to die to ourselves. But that cross, those ashes, become likewise a sign of life. When the Lord wants to breathe within again the breath of life on that tree of life, which is the cross, that tree that sprouts forever and ever and ever in heaven. But if we heard this sign of conversion, have we heard this message the way Jesus wanted? Again, in ancient Nineveh, They just didn't give up candy when Jonah was preaching. They really converted. And so that's the first way Jesus becomes the sign of Jonah that he said our evil generation needs. If the Ninevites converted at Jonah's preaching, how much more do we need to convert at Jesus' teaching? At Jesus' teaching, we should cry out with the help of today's responsorial psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt. Of my sin, cleanse me. Give me a new heart. Make one for me. Create it for me. Give your steadfast spirit to me. Cast me not out from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. My sacrifice to you will be this repentant, contrite spirit, because you will not reject a contrite and humbled heart. That's what we say to the Lord. And the more we do so, the more we become to our own generation what Jonah was to the Ninevites and what Jesus was to his generation. It's interesting that Jesus called himself the sign of Jonah, and that would be the sign that would be given. When we hear this expression, we should think about two things. Jesus first is a sign of Jonah by his preaching conversion, like Jonah did, repent and believe. But Jesus is likewise a sign of Jonah for what happened the first time God had called, when in order to quell the sea and the storms that had come about, Jonah was cast into the ocean. So Jesus, in order to quell the tempests of sin, tossed himself overboard and was in the belly of the earth for 3 days before he raised from the dead in order to take away the root causes of those storms. Jesus is that sign. He was that sign of contradiction to the sins of the age. And he wants us, having heard his message, having entered into his sign, likewise to become a sign for our own time. You know, it's interesting when we think back about ancient Nineveh, not everybody in that city was the same type of sinner. There were people who would have been good and virtuous in that city. But the whole city repented, including the pets, who we know weren't capable of sin because they couldn't deliberate the types of evil that they would be doing. But they repented. So that's one of the reasons why the whole church has to take on this role of expiation. It's precisely in the season of Lent that we become for the world what the Ninevites were, that we all seriously say, this generation is an evil generation. And we know it's an evil generation. Just in the space of this homily, another 40 children will die through abortion in the United States alone. That's not a good generation. And most people are able to just go to sleep and go along blithely with their life as if it really doesn't make much of a difference. We're desecrating the institution of marriage. We're desecrating the original differentiation between man and woman, saying that this is all just a social construct and let's change it however it wants. We're idolizing money and making it the real goal of our life. We're likewise idolizing pleasure and sports and fun and entertainment, forgetting the real purpose for which God has placed us here. There's so much gossip, it's become such an epidemic, and it tears people apart. As Pope Francis says, we become Cains to our brother Abel with our very tongues. We could look at all of the evil that's out there and all of the injustice, and we shouldn't say, well, but it's good too. It is good. There's some good there, just like there was some good in ancient Nineveh. But we have to recognize that we're living at the midst of a time that is deeply in need of conversion. So the Lord's calling the entire church to be, for our age, that sign of Jonah, preaching conversion, but also preaching the greater than Jonah, preaching Christ by our own entrance into His signage. And how do we do that? First, we do it by our penance. Throughout this year of mercy, how important it is for us to pray that chaplet and mean it, as we offer to the Lord the sign of His Son, His body, blood, soul, and divinity, an expiation for our sins and the sins of the world. And the sins are real. We're meant to be a sign of the real life that comes from Christ, rather than the various idols that are there, especially for those in consecrated life. It's so important for you to be a sign of contradiction to the various sins that flow from disordered sexuality by your chastity, to the various idols, the new golden calves of the world, by your commitment to being poor with Christ, to the structures of power and control, by your own willingness to say in everything that you do, "Thy will, not mine, be done, O Lord," through holy obedience. To become this real sign of contradiction that our evil generation needs, not so that it stays an evil generation, but that it can repent, receive a new heart from the Lord, so that it can become truly a good and holy generation. That's the purpose of the Lenten season. But we need to hear this call. "Even now," says the Lord, "return to me with your whole heart," as we prayed in the verse before the gospel, "for I am gracious and merciful." God wants to fill us with His mercy. He wants to fill us with His grace. And so much was this His will that He sent us someone far greater than Jonah. He sent us His own Son, not only to proclaim this message with His preaching, but to proclaim it through His passion, death, and resurrection. I was in Rome last week, as you know, and it's always a renewal in the foundations of our faith, because it's our faith is just redolent throughout art and architecture in the city. You know, there are two aspects of this sign of Jonah that I think are very important for us. In the Sistine Chapel, the real pinnacle of the vault of Michelangelo, which is all about creation, it gets finally at the very end to the recreation, right up on top of the wall of the Last Judgment, and on top of Christ seated in judgment, way up there at the pinnacle, above the crucifix, you've got Jonah being expunged from the mouth of the whale, which is a sign of the suffering of Jesus for those 3 days that led to His death. But then at the Cathedral of St. John Lateran, where you've got this ancient point-counterpoint thing going on, linking the Old Testament to the New Testament, all the way up the nave of the Archbasilica, the liturgically most important church in the world, you've got on the one hand beautiful Bernini-esque sculpture of Jonah being spit out of the mouth of the whale, and then the counterpoint of it is Jesus being spit out of the tomb. That it is in this sign of Jonah that we see Christ's death and His resurrection. And when we become those signs, we for the world are a sign of the death to the bad, so that Christ will be able to give us the resurrection to the good. And in order to strengthen us in this, we now consume the sign of Jonah.